Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
This is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is me, Sasha Sugar. Wow, it's been forever since I did my last show, live show. Wow, it feels so weird. Hey guys, today is a very, very special episode of What is Love Show. I just got back from Burning Man. And so did a few amazing people that are here now with me in the studio. And we are still decompressing. If you're not aware, decompressing from Burning Man is quite an important and sometimes difficult procedure and process when people are coming back from this amazing life-changing, transformative or not, experience back to the civilization. And we might act a bit weird, we might feel a bit weird, but this is a good time for all of us to reflect on what happened at Burning Man and to think of what lessons we've learned and to share with you all our most, our fondest, most loving, maybe not so loving experiences, because Burning Man might be harsh and it's not necessarily always an amazing experience. It could be sometimes challenging. So today we want to talk about it and share with y'all. And if any of you have just got back from Burning Man as well and want to share your own story, please call us at 718-928-9732. It's a live show and you'll get a chance to talk to us on air. If you have any questions for my guests, for me, or if you just want to express your love to anyone in this world, to the people in Florida who are struggling right now, please do that as well. We're all here to make the revolution with our kindness, generosity, and love. And I think coming back from Burning Man has helped us to realize some of those things as well. Anyways, I'll shut up and let my guests talk. I am extremely happy to have... should I go by your playa name, guys, or by your real names?
I don't have a playa name, so you can go by my real name.
All right, that's it. The problem is solved. So I have... You just heard Julian.
Hi.
Hey, you sound amazing on the mic, by the way.
Oh, do I?
Very sexy. Yeah. Julian, I'm not going to tell any background about you. Like, it doesn't really matter, right? It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, keep the mystery alive.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Julian, we have...
I'm Lila.
Yeah. Guys, you probably have heard Lila's voice quite a few times.
Ooh, yes.
I once set her up on a blind date on my show.
Yes.
She was also a speaker for the strong women in the relationship.
Oh, yeah. And no, but I wasn't in a relationship. Like, I'm just a strong woman who doesn't have a relationship.
That we'll fix that. Oh, we won't. We'll talk. Exactly.
Sure. But I'm known on the playa as Salad Lips, and I just experienced my 6th burn, or was it 7?
Wow. OG.
6, maybe.
Yeah, Lala is a veteran. And we also have...
Hi, my name is Glenn, and it's very an honor to be here at the Radio Free Brooklyn studio. And I just attended my 3rd Burning Man.
Awesome. And the last guest we have is an amazing...
Do I say my name now?
Speak louder. You are loud in life. Come on, girl.
Do I say my name?
Yeah.
Oh, Carissa.
Hey, Carissa.
Hi.
Don't be shy. So we have these 4 amazing people. We also have Asha in the studio. Asha has been helping with music. She's been a big part of What Is Love show. And Asha is going to actually be my sub in a few weeks when I'll be doing a Peru retreat.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to be doing in Peru, but Asha's going to be here talking about her broken heart. Or not. Maybe Aww. It will be cured by then. Anyways, we have this amazing intimate crew in Radio for Brooklyn studio. And I just wanted all of us to kind of share our most loving experiences. And again, this show is not about romantic love. We're not talking here about going to doing a camp trip to the orgy dome necessarily, but any experience that helped you to feel this amazing, warm, incredible energy and feeling towards whatever that was, that's what we will be discussing today.
Cool.
All right. You feel like you've warmed up? Do you want me to put a track for you, or are you ready to start? You want me to start?
Yeah.
Damn it, Carissa. Well, that was my first burn, and I think my loving journey started before I got to the playa. It actually started on the plane from San Francisco to Reno. I met this woman. She sat down next to me and she offered me dark chocolate. And yo, people, you know how crazy I am with dark chocolate. So the fact that somebody offered me dark chocolate on the plane was like, oh, this is already magical. So she gave me the dark chocolate, and it turned out that she's also going to the Burning Man, although she did not look like anyone who goes to Burning Man. She was dressed up absolutely casually, and you know, she was not a white, young girl from Netherlands or New York, so I did not expect her going to Burning Man. Anyways, when she found out that, her name is Sam, when she found out that I had no food on me, she got really concerned about it. And the moment we landed in Reno, she rented a car and took me to Walmart.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And basically, she did shopping for me, which brought about 50 cans of freaking vegetables and peas and beets and different snacks and so much. I had so much food. I actually gained some weight on playa. It was just ridiculous because people usually starve, but I gained weight on playa. But it doesn't matter. Just the fact that someone was willing to take care of me and to help me through my first burn without knowing anything about me, it was just so amazing.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was so sweet. And we kept in touch with her. We texted with her. She couldn't make it to the show because she's still traveling from Burning Man to New York. But that was, to me, already a sign that something magical is going to happen. The people who go to Burning Man, they're a special type of people. They're really, really loving in a very sincere way. So that was my first experience of love. I have like 300 more written down somewhere, but I want you guys to start sharing yours. Everybody is in a deep thinking mode right now. Told you, we're all still decompressing. Well, another fun and loving fact was, when I got to Reno, to the hotel, my mom's ticket was supposed to be waiting for me there. Yeah, by the way, my mom went to me with me at Burning Man. She was also very interested. But it's another topic, not for today. And to make a long story short, her ticket wasn't in the room, which was booked for me. And the hotel manager understanding how important the Burning Man experience is for anyone, he made the entire hotel crew to go through the garbage can, and they found the ticket.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that was like
incredible.
And he actually he knocked on my door, and he handed me the ticket. Said, "Hey, we looked through all the garbage and we found your ticket, and also you're not gonna pay anything for the room. I don't want your first experience to start off from the hard note.
Oh, wow.
And I want you and your mom to have a very warm and welcoming experience. So." Don't pay anything for the room. Here's the ticket. We are so sorry that this happened. But it
amazing.
Was just, yeah. I mean, who does that? On which world? Come on, Lila. I know you have a lot of stories to share.
I have a lot of stories to share. I mean, I've been going to Burning Man now. I think it's 5 times with my camp and 2 times before I joined a camp.
Are we just talking about this burn, or are we talking about all of our burn?
Do you want to know about...
I'd love to, since this burn was most recent ones, I feel like maybe those memories will be the most relevant. However, if you're still decompressing and you need more time, please share the experiences from the previous years.
I mean, I think people at Burning Man are just kinder in general because it's such a harsh environment. That when you're running up to an art car, somebody will extend their hand and hoist you up onto a moving car, for example, when that's allowed. Or
right, and your people just let other people die in the subway and take photos instead of giving a hand.
Yeah, but this burn in particular for me it was a much more difficult burn, and I'm still trying to process my emotions around it, and they're not all pleasant. It was a very melancholic burn for me for a number of reasons, and it was just a little bit bizarre. And I feel a little guilty, trying to tap into the love and the joy that one experiences at Burning Man when there's so many people right now who are suffering from natural disasters and who are really scared for their lives and their not just like their mortal beings, but also like their whole livelihood, like everything that they've built up in life so far. Anyway, so
This is the real burner talking to right now, guys. You see, like, this is just Lila's has been able to integrate a lot of principles of burner man into her day-to-day life.
Yes.
Without necessarily.
Well, this burn was supposed to be about ritual, right? About radical ritual.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning. I find it very meditative. And My gift this year was to make pancakes and coffee for much of my camp throughout the week. But I also did a lot of service in the camp, and I volunteered around Burning Man itself. I volunteered at the coffee shop, and I volunteered at the post office as well.
Well, yeah. If Lila has an issue with remembering any of the loving experiences, I can mention it for you. Actually, the first night I got to the ply, which was Sunday night, Lila just, well, first of all, she helped me to assemble my tent, which was already super sweet of her. Although she did help me 3 months ago to do that, so technically I knew how to do my tent, but still Lila helped me to do it. She grabbed me and then she took me, we got on the bikes, and Lila just gave me a tour, which she wanted me to get a sense of Burning Man. She wanted me to know how to locate myself, because those logistics are very important for you to have comfortable.
Your priorities were a little askew at the moment. Like, you really wanted to like put your canned food in order in your tent when like the playa was happening and like the sun was gonna set, and there was champagne to be had over on Rod's Road.
Lila,
and I'm like,
was dying to let me have that champagne.
I said put your cans in alphabetical order when we get back. Let's just go.
Which is a very loving act. You interceding and being like, stop right there. There's champagne to be had.
Yeah, but you know what? There was like this moment of conflict because she really was set on doing this, and her intention was to get everything in order in her home, in that tent space that she was going to occupy for the week. And by that point, I had already been on the playa for days, and I've been seeing the same faces for almost a week.
So it wasn't love and experience; it was a selfish experience.
It was selfish of me to want to like run off of our 200 by 200 plot and I wanted to take you with me. So I'm glad that we got to experience that together.
That was, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful to you, Lila. I mean, and those pancakes.
That's all I could do.
Pancakes. But that was more than enough.
Pancakes and coffee. Pancakes and sarcasm. Served up here.
I think it's really interesting. Like at Burning Man, oftentimes people go to try to find themselves, and some people might set that intention, and other people might really try hard not to set that intention, but it kind of creeps in the back of their mind that they're looking for something. And I know, at least for me, I had to kind of lose myself in order to find a little bit of myself, if that makes sense. I felt like I had to kind of lose myself to the chaos. I had to lose myself to the physical discomfort and the suffering, because the first 48 hours were rough for me. So my boyfriend and I, we bought the shift pod tent. And for those of you that know, it's like a 65-pound tent. And we had this bright idea of, okay, we're gonna ship this directly to the hotel and give ourselves an extra day buffer, have it arrive by Friday. Sure enough, never in the history of me or my boyfriend's like experience with UPS has a UPS delivery ever come late. But of course, for the burn, for whatever reason, whether it was traffic because of all the Burning Man activities, UPS missed their delivery date. And they don't work on the weekends. And we had to catch our bus on Sunday to go out to the playa. So they were like, we're going to have to deliver this to the hotel on Monday. And so we were like, fuck. This is our first burn. And so we ended up just staying at the hotel. And anyway, the whole point of that story is that we ended up getting this 65-pound tent. We're dragging it through 105-degree weather on Tuesday, I think it was. And it was just like so hellish trying to, you know, put everything in order. I mean, it's only a 4-minute buildup for a shift pod, but it felt like it was 4 hours in the sun. And so it was really rough. My first like 48 hours, just trying to get situated, like getting used to the elements. And we definitely fought. Like it tested our nerves. It tested our, you know, patience with each other. And I'm like, God, is this what Burning Man's about? I thought it was supposed to be about like the sense of connection and love. And I was starting to feel really disappointed in those like first couple of days. But once that started to settle, once I started to kind of incorporate this mantra for myself, which I taught a yoga class and I told the students jokingly, as cheesy as this sound, try using the mantra, be one with, and fill in the blank. So like, be one with the porta potties. Be one with the heat, and be one with the dust. And it actually really helped. And it took me losing myself into the chaos, the madness, the fighting, the anger, to then let go and relax and just have the most amazing experience. So it took me letting go, losing myself, to kind of find myself again.
You know, two things about what she had just said. One is that on the Tuesday that she arrived, it was the hottest day on record for Burning Man. And secondly, in terms of interpersonal relationships or romantic relationships, every couple struggles at some point on the playa. There's two types of couples on the playa: those who have had difficulties on the playa, and those that lie about not having any, because it tests you.
Lila, you went with your boyfriend.
I did.
To Burning Man last year.
No, 2014 and 15. I went with a significant other, and it was challenging. And there were so many like small challenges that you overcome as a couple. But like the random acts of kindness and loving happen. Just they come out of thin air. Like it's totally random, and sometimes, you know, by complete strangers, and you're just taken aback by somebody's gift or their presence or their beauty or their patience with you.
Yeah, and as we speak, this man Bill, he's texting me, he's trying to call us. He lives in Reno. He has never been to Burning Man, but he has couch surfed to Burners for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And he gave my mom and me a lift from Walmart to the airport because we were late for the bus. He just, you know, he figured out that we were going to Burning Man, and he just, hey girls, can I, you know, gonna give you a lift. So that's the act of kindness and love is already there. So Phil, if you were able to tune in, we thank you so much, and I hope you can call us and share your own stories with the Burning Man people in Reno. Again, our phone number is 718-928-9732. If any of you want to share your own story about loving experiences, and not so loving experiences, really, Burning Man is not just about that, but just about this connection experiences, please give us a call. Oops,
there you go.
Here we go.
Speaking of devil.
Hello.
Hey, hello, hello. You're on the Radio Free Brooklyn. Hi. You on the show? Hi, you on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Oh my gosh, I was wondering when you were going to pick up if you're going to let me ring forever and ever and ever.
Oh, hi, this is Sasha Sugar with What Is Love Show.
This is Chris Pilati from P3 Camp over at the Playa.
Oh my god, Chris?
Yeah, you knew I was going to call.
Shit, I kind of forgot. Oh my god, hi Chris. Damn it, I haven't even told our story yet and you're already calling. I guess you want to share it. Yeah.
Well, I have Pride Fest to go to later today, so I have to make a move or forever be silent.
So Chris was so kind to let me join him and his friends on my first LSD trip on Wednesday night, which was quite amazing and loving and beautiful. But Chris, tell me about your favorite loving experience at Burning Man.
Wow. My favorite loving experience at Burning Man.
Three favorites. Top three.
Top three. All right. The third one is definitely our experience. That's definitely in the top three. Number two was I washed a bunch of people's hair, which I thought was one of the nicest gifts I could give. And it was great because I'm a sucker for all sorts of physical contact. And this is a great, like, non-sexual physical contact where you could give an amazing amount of energy to someone and do something that is desperately needed and required on the playa. And I the most important thing for me was just the notion that, like, everything is switched on, okay? Everyone's assuming the best case scenario in all situations, which is such an amazing, it's like such a simple thing in life, but it's such an amazing and poignant point. Like, you know, you see someone at your camp at night, you're not thinking they're trying to steal or hurt you. You think they're in a bad spot and they need help. Or, like, you know, you see someone around a little bit sad, you want to give them a hug, not that they're out to get you or that they want something. And it's just such a small point that was so profound for me.
And it was your first burn too. It's not like you were going there knowing how exactly you want to contribute and how exactly you want to express your love. You just kind of got it on the spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had been part of a little bit of a burner community here in Boulder going forward since, like, last year, so we kind of had, like, a small idea, but there's nothing that anyone could have done or said to prepare me for what I was going to experience. I mean, just the bottom line. I mean, like, one day at the playa is equal to at least 3 months of planning, period, and, I mean, it's really a model of how people should act in real life. It really is.
I couldn't get over how friendly everybody was, like, just riding on your bikes and just everyone waving at you and smiling and saying hi.
Right.
That's been the hardest part of decompression for me is, like, I was walking in Uptown this week and I said good morning to someone and they didn't look at me and they didn't say good morning back and I lost it. I started crying. And I was like, it's something so small, an exchange that is so small. In such an island utopian environment, it's so natural. But here we are with how many millions of people live in New York and the amount of physical and connection that we get with the people that we spend so much time commuting with, it just blows my mind.
It's unbelievable. I mean, just imagine, like, so if anything can be taken two different ways, right? It could be taken the best possible way or the worst possible way. Most people take it the worst possible way,
right,
in this pessimistic world, right? Just imagine what like New York would be like if everyone just took all those situations in the best possible way.
Right.
Like the amount that could be created and love that could be shared and how much less anxiety there would be about daily life.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest thing for me coming back, is that there's this like anxiety that I know. I'm originally from South Florida, from Miami, and I live now in Boulder, which is like a night and day world compared to where I'm from. And I noticed the biggest difference when I moved was the level of anxiety I had every day. And once you go to the playa and you come back, you still notice that there's actually anxiety at all these other places, because you're in such a perfect world at, at this other place, you know?
Yeah.
So that was your second experience. What was your third one?
Oh, our experience was great. That whole 1 day, it was literally just 1 day at the playa that all literally transpired just because we were in line and I suggested that we eat together at Shady Waffle. And all the rest of the stuff that, you know, Risa, went through after that.
Our audience doesn't know what happened. Can you kind of talk about more details?
Oh, for sure.
But not, for too, sure. Not so, too detailed. I know you like to talk. You're like a comedian, so...
I would
not
talk. I would
much.
Take the rest of the half an hour. That's why I had to call now, or I would just never have enough time. Basically, we met. So at Burning Man, everyone really wants to do stuff for you. Like, they really, like, and you feel this overwhelming sense of, like, I want to do stuff for people. Like, I want to contribute. And it's really funny how that all cascades. And so there was a camp that would serve us these amazing breakfasts every morning. No matter who you are, just show up and you get, like, a delicious breakfast, which is amazing in the desert, you know. I met Sasha there with her mother and David. And it came up that we were going to, like, it's Wednesday night. It was a big night. We were planning on taking some LSD, and she had never done it. So, you know, we just decided that it would be a good thing for her to come with us, since we've talking the big game. You know, we've done it many times. Blah, blah, blah. The thing about it is that me and my friend are both virgins, and this is literally the most stimulating experience I think I've ever encountered, ever. I mean... including any sexual experience, literally any experience, any concert experience. It's just too much. It's too much stuff. It was all good. It was really amazing. It's just like there's no preparing you for it. Like there's not, it's not like you're, you know, and I feel like I'm pretty prepared for a lot of situations. I've been to tons of festivals.
The fact that we all were in it together and you guys were so kind of on top of making sure that I'm having a good time and that you are there, and I was so connected to you and making sure that nobody gets lost, which didn't happen, unfortunately. Christy did get lost, which opened up a totally new adventure, which was amazing. But the fact that you wanted to share that with me, it was to me already
you have to understand that. Yeah, of course. I mean, I appreciate that. Thank you. But you have to understand that any type of experience like that, where you're actually delving into the deeper realms of your brain and you're seeing, you know, what could be this actual reality that, you know, is an altered reality, it really definitely benefits being with people that, one, know what they're doing, and two, you know, care about you as a person, to make sure that you experience those things in a positive light, because things could change and could cause like a negative reaction, whatever. So yeah, we started the night off really well. We went to the Tree of Tenere, which if anyone, you should look it up. It's this amazing LED tree,
a beautiful
art piece, one of my favorite on the playa. We saw a 60-piece orchestra play behind a ballet. It was very, very beautiful experience. We went out to the end of the deep playa, and then we decided to go back to try to, you know, recoup, get the night started. And that's when we linked up with everyone, and we went out to Camp Question Mark, which was for me one of the best camps, but I like really heavy bass, so whatever. And honestly, this is where the story gets really crazy. We were all getting ready to leave. This is when our trip is starting, and my backpack got caught on my bicycle, and I tripped and fell. And like, I saw everyone. This is like a pitch black dark, and you know, if you're on the playa, like, you know, everyone's wearing light up stuff. Everything is happening, right? There's a million people everywhere. I trip, I fall, I look up, I see everyone, I get my stuff, I turn down to look, I look back up, everyone's gone.
Yes.
And
we waited for
I'm in the middle.
Minutes, though. For 15 minutes, we were waiting for you.
Was it really 15 minutes or was it like
it was
2 hours or exactly. 1 minute?
I mean, I was kind of semi LSD 15 minutes.
Right, right.
No, and that's what you have to think. Like, I literally got up and I was there looking around. And then, you know, everyone's wearing blinky, flashy stuff. There's, I mean, just impossible to see anyone. And, I mean, if they biked 1 minute and then stopped and turned around and was like, oh, where is Chris? That's enough to be completely at Burning Man. Like, that 1 minute.
Chris, sorry. I think somebody else is trying to get through.
Sure.
I'll promise I'm going to finish the story for you.
Finish it. I gotta go anyways.
Yeah,
so listen,
thank you
we'll
so much. Yeah, we'll look
time.
Up. Yeah, you're in my life now, and thank you so much for everything. Yeah, I'll see you in New York. Yeah.
I'll see you in New York. See
yeah,
you.
Bye. Oh. Hello. Do we have somebody on the line? Hi, this is Sasha Sugar with What Is Love Show, and we are talking about most loving experiences at Burning Man. Hey.
Hi, is this Sasha?
Yes. Hi.
This is Bill from Reno. How are you today?
Oh, hey, Bill from Reno. Very good. How are you?
Good. Well, it's nice to... lucky you sent me that link, because otherwise I don't know if I would have found you or not on the radio station.
But yeah.
I listened to the young fellow that was just talking before on his trip out there. So you had a good time out there. You enjoyed yourself. It's kind of like a typical Burners that come and stay with me. They my granddaughter, my grandson have all gone out, and they say it was the best week of their lives, so I guess that's a pretty common theme.
I can't say it was the best week of my life. It was one of the most important weeks, but I can't really describe my Burning experience in terms of good or bad. Like, I've had both experiences. It was challenging for sure, but it also was very rewarding.
Sorry, but I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm saying that I don't think that I can describe my Burning Man experience in terms of good or bad.
I don't know if it's my phone or what, but...
I think it's your phone, Bill. I think it's your phone, because I... Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think it is, too, because I could hear you loud and clear via the radio side
okay.
thing.
Okay,
so.
All right. Well, it was a great experience. I cannot say it was good or bad. It was definitely rewarding, and I've learned a lot. And thanks so much for giving that ride. It was a big...
You're more welcome.
Kind of,
yeah,
it was a good start. It was really a good start of my journey.
And are you from Belarus originally?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple who was staying at my house was from there. They actually got married out there at the
Playa,
and then they came back and stayed here. They're actually living in Moscow now, but they're originally from Belarus
cool.
originally.
It becomes quite common for people who meet on the playa, then to come back and get married there. In fact, one couple from our camp, from New York Dangerous, Lee and Rachel, they did have a ceremony on the playa, which was quite beautiful. So yeah, that's amazing how in just a matter of 1 week you can meet someone and connect on such a deep level that you just then spend the next year, two or three or five with that person. Because Playa does it to you, because it shows you your true self, basically. You don't have to pretend, you don't have to show off. It just shows you who you are, and then if you meet a person who embraces that, then there is a click.
And I think that's what people love about it. You know, you can be who you are and what you want to be. So that's great.
Well,
how did your mom like it?
I think she enjoyed it. I think it took her a while to get out of the camp and actually get on her bike and start exploring. But once she got a taste of that, she was able to have a good journey as well. She found a camp that was celebrating people's birthday, who had birthday in August. And my mom had a birthday in August. That's kind of how I got her to Burning Man. It was my gift to her for her birthday. So she celebrated her birthday with a bunch of other people who had birthday in the same month. So that was pretty cool for her. Yeah. Well, Bill, hope you actually managed somehow to get to fly yourself. And thank you so much for couch surfing for so many burners and for helping them to get to Playa. But really, you should check it out for yourself as well. Never too late.
All right. Well, thank you. I tell you what, I don't know why. I'm just you're kind of breaking up my phone. But anyway, Thanks very much. And again, it was delightful to meet you. Good luck with your show. And once you're back in the Reno area, be sure to give me a call. All right?
Absolutely. I have your number. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Sasha. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Woo! Damn it. We're on fire. So many calls.
Yeah. So I have a story that I wanted to share that I was kind of holding on to, and I'm like, should I share it or not? But so the second to last day, well, actually second to last day and the last day when the man burned and when the temple burned, those were really powerful days for me. So I came to Burning Man with a friend of mine as well as my boyfriend. So it was those were the two main people that I camped with and that I kind of came to Burning Man with. And it's crazy, but each one of us and so many people on the playa, I know, have lost people in their lives, people that they were close to. And the friend that we came with, he lost an older brother a few years ago to a type of blood cancer. And my boyfriend lost an ex-girlfriend to suicide. And I lost my late husband to cancer as well. And he was really young. He was like 31 when he passed. And so we each had heartbreak and grief that we were bringing onto the playa. And it was individual at first. We each went to the temple on our own. We each went to the man on our own. And I know that each one of them put something in the temple. And I actually, for some reason, felt called to the man, and I wrote something in the man. And so the first night, the first big burn, the man, second to last night, I was completely astounded because I was not expecting this amazing, I don't want to call it a spectacle, but it was just this raising down of everything that you think you know about yourself. And it was just awe-inspiring. And I remember feeling the hairs on my face singe and burn and feeling like something inside me was being released. And I remember looking around and we were all kind of hugging each other and nobody was really looking at each other, but we were looking at the fire. And I could feel my friend's pain and I could feel my boyfriend's pain. And it was this beautiful, loving moment where we just felt so connected to each other. And it was even more amplified on the last day, the temple burn, where that's where everybody puts their grief into the temple, people that have loved and lost. And that was even more powerful. And I turned to my boyfriend and I saw tears rolling down his cheeks and the fire was being reflected, you know, from those tears on his face. And looking towards my friend, and he very quietly said, should we cheers to those that we've loved and lost? And we just cheersed, and we very quietly sat there and watched this magnificent fire burn. And so that was a very loving and beautiful moment that was started off individual, but then we ended up sharing together.
So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
We also, as New York Dangerous, we had this moment at the temple. In fact, one of our camp members, Yuan, she was also wife of our camp leader. She died last year, the cancer. And
she died in March of this year.
Huh?
She died this year.
She passed away in March of this year.
On St. Patrick's Day.
You see, everything before Burning Man seems to me as a past year. This is not at this right, point. Yeah. But yeah, I meant that she was camping last year, and that was her last time camping.
You're a true burner if you're marking the calendar by days according to the man burn.
Oh, that's yes! Really
yes, exactly.
But anyways, we had a ceremony, a lot of people from our camp, they camped at the ceremony at the temple, memorial ceremony on Friday, and then on Sunday when the temple was burning, we all also sat quietly. And I know some people at some points wished kind of screaming I love you or just kind of start doing wolfy sounds, but we all sat quietly. And I did not know Yon that well. When I met her, she was already dying, but I totally knew, I felt that, you know, Lila and Glenn and Michael and the people from our camp knew her that well, her Beth and David, like, and I just could feel how it's painful for them to say the final goodbye to Yuan. And there was something magical about this energy around the temple. Like you just said, you don't even have to say anything. You feel it.
Yeah.
And it's real. Like, it's not something in your mind. You physically feel that energy and that pain that everybody's kind of going through. When you hear someone sobbing, it just kind of gets to you. Like, I just constantly was also looking around when I heard somebody sobbing. I was looking around to try to find a person because I wanted to give a hug so badly. Like, yeah. I couldn't bear just sitting there by myself, you know, not by myself, but just sitting there while somebody else was crying.
Yeah.
And another story was a temple, which was to me one of my most loved experiences that I didn't mention yet. After we had that ceremony, the memorial Friday, I went on the bench near the temple and I sat down there with my mom. She was having a cigarette. And the moment I sat down, a girl came up to me and sat down next to me, and she was crying. And she just said, "Hey, I can't be by myself right now. Can I sit with you?" I said, "Yeah, of course." And I just gave her a hug and we spent about 30 minutes together. And she was sobbing. Her brother died 2 years ago. He committed a suicide. Mm. And she was just, she lost it. She just couldn't hold it, and she needed someone to be there. Mm. And for me, it was the only thing I could give her, just to be there for her. But also, it was so much I could give her. And I was, to me, that was, I feel so much, I don't want to say that I felt like a better person, because that was so natural for me to do that. That was the only thing I could do that. And I really wanted to help her. And I just comforted her and talked about her parents and how she can channel that love of her brother towards her parents and towards other people in her life. And but just the fact that people, like, you don't need to know anyone to feel the pain. You just, it's just, we are all humans. Yeah. And you feel this human connection, the human pain. We are all in it together.
Yeah.
I have this realization of life that we are all the same. Like, in one way or another, but we are all the same. We are all this loving, kind, creative, silly, maybe sometimes, people that just want to, you know, connect and be together. So
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And she'll remember that always, you know, and you'll never really know how much that probably meant to her.
Yeah, I hope she'll be able to juggle that love and grief for her brother. Other people or towards herself, because she also said that she was having some issues with self-love. But anyways, the temple, the whole temple thing is probably one of the most powerful on the playa when it comes to emotions and connections with others.
Yeah.
Carissa, you've had many interesting experiences.
And a lot. I think, I mean, I tell people all the time, you get the burn you need, not the burn you want. And I think the road up to Burning Man this year was very hard for me. I mean, I broke my arm. My phone was stolen. I got left at the gate and had to hitchhike my way in. Was camping with a big camp. I don't ask for help ever. Lila can attest to that. Sasha can. I'm used to taking care of people. And Burning Man, since it has come into my life, has really showed me self-love and the fact that I'm not alone and that I have this community that constantly wants to uplift me and support me. And, like, I grew up in foster care very much on my own. So the journey of coming home is always very... And I'm crying probably because of decompression. But it's just, I don't know. I sat there with my broken arm waiting to come in. And I texted Lila and I was like, I don't even want to go. Like, just, I want to go back to New York. And then all of a sudden, a DPW comes up to me and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm just waiting here, figuring out how I'm going to get to the greeter station and to my camp, or what the hell I'm doing." And he's like, "Hold on 1 second. Then a ATV comes over. They put my stuff in the back of a thing. And they were like, "We will get you to your camp within 3 minutes. An RV says, "Hop on in." And they drive me, not even stopping at their camp first, on the other side of the playa, drop me off. And it's like, what was it? Like 11 o'clock at night. And everyone at my camp had been spending the past 2 days working their asses off, putting up a huge tent, creating a village for 300 people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't have anywhere to sleep tonight. And this guy walks over to me and he goes, hi, I'm Dragger. And I was like, hi. And he's like, you look like you've had a tough go at it. I have a air-conditioned RV. Mm-hmm. There's a bed. No one will bother you. Just go and get some sleep. Mm-hmm. And that was like my first like sigh of relief. I'm home. Here's the love. And then it was just a repetition of I would take off my sling and I would want to work. And people would be like, no, put your sling back on. You're only supposed to stand there and look pretty. Or I'd greet people, which greeting in itself is just this huge exchange of love. People have been sitting in line up to 10 hours. They're angry. They're annoyed. And you'll ask them, would you like to get out of the car and give me a hug? Some of them are like, no, just give me my book, send me on my way. But then others would be so excited and slam the car into park, jump out of there and just run and hug you. And you would say, I would say, I've been waiting so much, like so long for you. Welcome home. We've missed you.
Yeah.
And everyone's countenance would just change. And they'd go on their way. They'd invite me to their camp and I'd see them on the ply and they'd be like, you were my greeter. And it was this bond that literally did not take any more than 10 seconds to create. And it lasts. I've been getting emails from people the past week, Facebook messages about how their one little interaction with me influenced their week. And that's the thing of love is I always leave Burning Man with more self-love. Which in our society is so hard because it's not just a festival. It's we build a city and it's founded. It was started by anarchists, but it has become such a symbol of love and acceptance and inclusion and civic responsibility and decommodification and immediacy and all the other principles that even if 25% of the 70,000 people who go there take a fraction of what they've learned and spread it a little bit, they're changing the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with Irma and Harvey, the burners have Burners Without Borders.
Yeah,
and
they went out there to help.
Yeah, they're already mobilizing groups together to help where people after this week of indulgence almost of it's a playground for adults. You could drop off your leftover water, your generators, your things, and they were bringing them down to Harvey. And that's an incredible thing to see. And I think that's the epitome of love is self-sacrifice. And, you know, even when you're having fun, thinking of others.
Yeah, I think one of the greatest gifts, like how you put it so eloquently, is self-knowledge is one of the greatest gifts you can give to humanity, because when you know yourself, you understand that deep principle that you're connected to other people, exactly. And therefore you can spread the love.
And how beautiful that you were able to find your limit, that you realize when somebody actually came and tapped on your shoulder and said, you need to receive right now. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's hard, but it's beautiful.
It's so funny how you mentioned the whole welcome home thing, because when I got in and everybody was welcome home, and to me it was just kind of a, you know, artificial, it's like a part of the procedure. It just, okay, welcome home, but I didn't really get that, like, welcome home, okay, I guess, thanks. But then 3 days later I was already myself on the bike, you know, riding around, and when I saw that people away with luggage is just coming in, I was just like, welcome home, and I meant it. It wasn't just something that you say as a ritual, but I actually meant it, welcome home, because now you are home. Yeah. That's where you belong. Like, it was so crazy.
You know, Glenn said something really poignant about burner culture a while back.
Well, maybe, Glenn, it's time for you to speak up, huh? We have 5 minutes left.
Well, the thing about Burning Man is that in the desert, it magnifies your emotions. I mean, you could be very ecstatic and so happy to be here, or you could be very, very sad and, you know, emotional. And that's what the desert does. And also it gives people that go to Burning Man the opportunity to do things and behave differently than if they were back in the default world. So that's what I've gotten from a Burning Man. And I just want to add that when I arrived on Sunday morning, I was on the burner bus, and the bus left the Reno airport just after 7:30 a.m. And we entered the gate 2 hours later, which was probably a record. There was no traffic jams, nothing like that. The bus went through its own lane while we were bypassing the traffic jam at the other lanes. And when I arrived at my camp, it was like 95 plus degrees, and I was ready to go to work to help build the camp. I was also starting to get a little bit dehydrated, and mm-hmm. I saw a couple of people with sucking on popsicles, ice popsicles, and I just want to know where they got them. And they pointed me to the freezer in the kitchen, so I held myself to a popsicle, and boy, what a relief that was. As a matter of fact, I think I had like 5 or 6 popsicles that day.
But Glenn actually mentioned once that he was involved in other social groups and, you know, tried to develop a social network through some sort of a whatever club you were belonging to, and that he really found family with our camp and with the burner culture. It's really quite a place where we take acceptance mm-hmm. pretty seriously, which mm-hmm. is nice. Mm-hmm.
And we thank you so much, Glenn, for that. We literally have 5 minutes left, well, maybe 6. I just wanted to mention and I guess express my personal gratitude to all the artists that have built the art there, because mm-hmm. I've had some, I think, important realizations just by observing the art and interacting with them. And one of them was that, well, first that I had this realization that there is no authority there. When you come up to an artwork, it's not like when you go to MoMA and there is a painting on the wall and you can't touch it and somebody's watching over your back. Here, you come to this beautiful art piece and there is something for you to learn from it, to interact in a way that lets you get over your boundaries, whether it's physically climbing on it or whether it's reading what other people wrote about their own self-love, self-journeys, or is it listening to this beautiful music that helps elevate something good in you? But every single piece of art on the plier was meant to bring up the best of the humans by interacting with them. So I've heard that, yeah, art is great at Burning Man, but until I actually got there and interacted with those artworks, I wasn't getting it.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw it out there. Like, I had some loving experiences. Like that wheel of skeletons. I call it a skeleton wheel, which is not a skeleton wheel. It's what's the official name of it? The wheel where the skeletons are in the boat.
I don't know what it's called.
Oh God! Like that was one of the highlights of my burn this year. Just first of all, the whole art piece was beautiful. Has a concept, was philosophical, but then it only worked if people made it work. And it's not like there was someone who was just assigning, okay, you do this, you do that, this is your time slot, this is... No, people were just coming in from all over the world at any time, whenever they wanted, and just start pulling the rope to make the wheel rotate. Like, that connection between the artist and the people from across the world and the play at that one moment, it was there was love right there. I almost cried when I had that realization.
Very democratic too. It's available for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
You can interact, and it's not like behind a glass
and
wall.
And I remember it was also when I was with Chris and Stephanie, the guy who called when we were having our LSD trip, and then David, Fabian, and Owen joined us, and I was like, wait, guys, can we get on the R car? They're like, yeah, Sasha, you can do whatever you want. Like I wasn't still getting it. I was like, wait, do I need to ask someone? No, you can just hop on the fucking R car. Like, you can do whatever you want. And that's when I felt, oh my gosh, this is really about just loving yourself and expressing yourself, and everybody's accepting you, and you can do whatever you want. Like, you don't need to ask anyone for permission to do anything. That's the liberation of your true self right there. So that was quite amazing for me too. Mm-hmm. You guys have any final thoughts? Get them together. I'm gonna just give a shout out to Radio Free Brooklyn. It's a non-profit independent radio station. We have about 80 different live shows and pre-recorded shows, talk shows, music shows, comedy shows. We're all about, I mean, we kind of share the same principles as Burning Man, and we are self-supported. Please, if anyone has an extra dollar or two or 1,000, a million, go to radiofreebrooklyn.com, and there is a donate button, and you can donate as much as you can to help us producing amazing content as we've been doing. If anyone wants to be a sponsor on What Is Love Show, reach out to me. Thanks so much for Fantasy App. Fantasy App has been my sponsor. The founder of the Fantasy App actually was at Burning Man with us, Andre. He has camped with us this year. So thank you so much, Andre. If anyone wants to join the Radio Free Brooklyn community, please reach out to me or to anyone. You can find all the contact information on Facebook or the website. So yeah, I mean, decompression is still going. I think it's going to take us, as they say, not to take any important decisions in the next months or so, because we are still high on the emotions and realizations we've had on the plier. Does anyone have a, since this also show, but you know, romantic love, does anyone have any sexy story to share?
No.
But no. Those pancakes were so sexy.
Yeah, I didn't have any sex on the playa this year. I didn't have sex on the playa last year either.
Me neither.
You know, but I was so scared of a UTI. I just told my boyfriend, I was like, you know, we're just not going to have sex for the next week.
You're gonna end up having playa dust in crevices, and there you'll end up with a yeast infection.
Guys, I wasn't talking about sex on playa. I was just talking about some, you know, sexy story. Maybe you've met someone that you had a click, a connection, and then you just had this amazing, beautiful 10 minutes, and then you never met that person again. I mean, I had that one, but I didn't want to share that.
Mm. I mean, I almost got kidnapped.
That's interesting.
That's sexy.
Oh, wait, yeah, but that was by a woman, right?
Yeah.
You have like 20 seconds if you, yeah.
So I was watching the Phoenix Bird, and this woman like coerced me into her art car and then wouldn't let me off. She was in love. I was not in love.
So. Yeah. Well, everything is consent is one of the primary principles of Burning Man. So Lala
kind of broke that.
Well, but
I consensually got in her art car.
Oh, okay.
Right. So
okay. She didn't grab you by the hair and set your car.
No, she just wouldn't let me off.
She was impeding your agency by not allowing you to. Yeah. Get off when
she
you
got very aggressive. Kathy,
hey guys, Bates, radical inclusion. And we have 10 seconds, so I have to finish. Unfortunately, we're going to have more shows, because Burning Man is, as we all know, it's not a festival, it's a way of living. So I will devote more shows to Burning Man community, and I hope to see more of my shows. Thank you all so much, and enjoy your Sunday afternoon. And